The glory at Shavuot. This is the day that the children of Israel waited for. They crossed over. Have you ever thought about this group of people? I mean, these were slaves. These were slaves. And they had to be convinced to be set free. Can you imagine? I don't know if you've read any of the stories about what happened in this country when slavery was abolished, but some of the slaves in this country didn't want to be free. Did you know that? I mean, it's hard for us to realize, but undoubtedly because there's different kinds of people, there's different kinds of slave masters. But here's the thing about slavery. It represents a known quantity. And it can become an area of what? Complacency. Even as much as it's known a place of comfort. But these people got out of their comfort zone because God wouldn't leave them there. You say they weren't really comfortable. No, they weren't. They were maltreated. But they were willing to stay, and they argued with Moses. You remember when he came? He had to show them signs. Not only that, they had to go through the first three plagues with Egypt because of it. The first three plagues that happened to Egypt, the children of Israel had the same plagues. And then they decided they were going to serve God. And the plagues just started happening to Egypt. And God judged all of the gods of Egypt. All of those gods were judged. But Moses brought them out on the day after Passover. The Bible says with a mighty arm, with the saving strength of his right hand, he brought them forth. And he brought them forth with what? What did he bring them forth with? You know, a lot of people miss this. He brought them forth with their wages that they had been robbed of, because the children of Israel came forth with gold and silver and raiment and cattle. They came forth with all those things. But you know what? With all of that change, they were still slaves. And they walked. They walked for most of that time between the day of Passover, which happened in Egypt, for the days that we've just been counting. That's what counting the sheaves, counting the omer is getting ready for something they don't know what. And I want to tell you today, I don't think we know what we're getting ready for. But I do know this. I've been freed from bondage. I'm blood washed. I don't know if you've ever seen the story and the picture as it really was, but when God said, the angel of death will pass over you, God also said, I will pass over your thresholds into your house. That's why the angel of death couldn't come in. God came into the houses that night and protected the children of Israel. Every place the blood was. Now for 50 days they've been walking. 47 days, God said, have the children of Israel get ready. Tell them to get ready against the third day, is the way the King James puts it. Because I'm going to come. He said they need to prepare themselves. They need to get ready. How did they get ready? Well, they prepared their hearts. They prepared their bodies. They washed themselves in clean water. And they were ready. They were ready. This is one of the feasts that the Bible talks about in Exodus 23:14. They're called the Shelosh Regalim. In Hebrew, shalosh meaning three, regalim meaning feasts, the regalim. And these are the feet feasts. Can you say feet feasts? Feet feasts. Why are they feet feasts? Because three times a year, God said in the 34th chapter of Exodus, no, actually in the 23rd chapter, we didn't go into full, I don't have the scripture that really talks about three times a year you're to come to Jerusalem. You're to come to the place where I've set my name. And that's on the feast of Matzah, which would be Pesach and first fruits. And then you're supposed to come together at Shavuot. And finally, you're supposed to come back together at Sukkot. We call those Passover, Pentecost, or this is the way the Greeks have named them, Pentecost, and the Feast of Tabernacles. Those were the three times they got together. Now, that's three major times a year. We know that Passover happened at barley harvest. We know that Pentecost or Shavuot happened at the wheat harvest. And at the end of the summer harvest period, you remember when Yeshua said, "Say not, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest"? You remember when he said that? I believe he said that right at Passover time, or at Pentecost time, because now we're getting ready for 4 months after this until the fall feasts, the fall harvest. And what is that? That's the final ingathering. The ingathering of what kind of fruits and things come in the fall? What? Corn. Corn comes in later. What?
I don't know what
grains. I think your grains are pretty much over. Yeah, that's... Go ahead. Squash, that's right. Yeah. Pumpkins. You always see pumpkins in the fall, don't you? Amen. All of the fall fruits come in. And that's the end. Well, Jesus said, now don't say there's 4 months until it's over with, because I say to you right now that the fields are already white under harvest. So these are the times we're talking about. And in Exodus 34:22, he says, "Thou shalt observe the feast of weeks." That's another name for this. Weeks, meaning seven weeks of the first fruit of the wheat harvest, of the feast of ingathering, and at the feast of ingathering at the year's end. So we've been counting the Omer, and what have we been doing as we've been counting? What? We've been reading Psalm 119 because we believe that there's no psalm that puts the Word of God in its right place like Psalm 119. It's a great psalm. You ought to read it over and over and over again. But we've been reading it to count. But what have we been doing as we've been counting the days? Anticipation, right? You know that? We've been anticipating what's coming. We've been looking forward to something that's mighty and powerful. And, you know, I'm excited about that because I've had several of you write to me or let me know that you're believing for the glory of God. Well, the children of Israel didn't know what was coming, but they crossed over the Red Sea and they saw glory there, didn't they? And then they saw glory in the cloud, and they saw glory in the pillar of fire at night. They saw the glory of God, but suddenly the glory was actually making a way for them through the sea. And the Bible says when the cloud moved, they moved. When the cloud sat, they sat. Right? And so here they are now. They're at the foot of this mountain. And by the way, I don't believe that that mountain is on the Sinai Peninsula. I believe it's in Saudi Arabia. And I believe there's good reason to believe that. If you do a little study, and you'll be surprised what you'll find out. The old route that the church fathers put in for them didn't make any sense to me at all. In fact, I believe that's the reason they came to the place where they finally started saying, well, you know, this little body of water that they went across really wasn't the Red Sea. It was the Sea of Reeds. And it was really just, it was only about 6 inches deep. And they just walked across like that. One old country preacher heard them talking like that, and he said, well, glory to God, it's a greater miracle than I thought, because all of Pharaoh's army drowned in 6 inches of water. But you see, they saw glory, and yet all the glory they were seeing was a glimpse. How many of you have been seeing some of the move of God in your lives, and you've been excited? In fact, I dare say some of you tingle most of the time. Amen. Sonia said, I've been putting into practice turning when God says turn. I've been doing it. Well, you know, that's been my signature on my emails. That's my signature scripture. I just put it on all the bottom of all my emails, that you'll hear a voice behind you. When you turn to the left or when you turn to the right, it'll say, this is the way. Walk in it. How many of you want to be led like that? Man, I don't think there's anything better than that. That's the way I want to be led. That's the way I want to walk. And so we've been counting the Omer, and there's this anticipation that we've been rejoicing as we come to it. And we've seen that, you know, here comes this 50 days. It's getting closer and closer and closer. We're getting ourselves ready. I think this is one of the main reasons a lot of times people don't receive. We go from week to week, we think about God. We may even have our own little prayer ritual, but we're not anticipating things. We're not anticipating and expecting God to move in our behalf. We come into congregational meetings, and that's what this is. We got real hung up on calling it the church. In fact, some people say, you know, the church has replaced Israel. Have you ever heard that? That's called replacement theology, and it's a lie. The church never replaced Israel. We got grafted into Israel, praise God. We got grafted into the covenants. Amen? How good that is. People say, well, don't you know, Pastor, that the Bible says that Torah, the law, by the way, that's not even the definition of Torah. Some translator decided he should call it law every time he saw Torah. Torah means instruction. He said, don't you know that the Bible says it's passed away? How many of you think the Torah's passed away? Let me tell you what's passed away. The ministration of death has passed away. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. What was the law of sin and death? The law of sin and death was, you can't keep my rules, therefore the best you can do is offer the blood of bulls and goats and lambs, birds, and they'll make a covering for you, but that never, according to God, was His perfect will. His perfect will was that the blood of bull and goats will never do it. It takes the perfect Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. So the law of sin and death, yes, it's passed away. That's under the curse. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it's written, cursed is everyone that hangeth upon a tree, that the blessing, say the blessing. Blessing. The blessing. What was the blessing? I only taught on it for about 17 weeks. What's the blessing? Even before Abraham. What? That's right. But it was in Abraham. Be fruitful. Multiply. Have dominion and subdue. Amen. That's what we're supposed to be doing. How do we do it? In the power of Messiah. So that's the blessing. He says that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles. Anybody know what a Gentile is? What? Go ahead. Without God, pagan, and confused. That's what a Gentile is. Now, literally, the term comes from goyim, which means nations. But what was it that made the Gentiles Gentiles? The fact of what Rosemary said, they were pagan. They were pagan. They didn't have God in their lives, and they were confused. What did they have? Well, they've made an idol out of a tree, out of a rock, and they'd bow down and worship it. The Bible says they'll carry it on their back and then set it down and then worship it. Can you imagine? That's pretty pagan, isn't it? That's goyim. But you know, the goyim wasn't just the nations of us. It was also the 10 tribes of Israel that were in the diaspora, that were dispersed. They all got lost. Now, I'm going to throw something at you that I don't have any proof about, except that in my heart, I just know there's something about the seed in God's people. There's a seed in us. Did you know that? There's a seed of truth. And I just wonder how many of us are going to find out when we see Jesus that there's some of that blood in us from those 10 tribes that got away. But they were eventually called Goyim also. See, they were called the nations. Exodus chapter 19, in verse 1, it says, "And in the third month, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day they came into the wilderness of Sinai." In Young's literal translation, now I'm going to switch to that translation and read verse 16 to you. "And it cometh to pass on the third day, while it is morning, that there are voices." Now, most of your translations don't say that. What do most translations say? Thunders. Thunders. The reason being that in the Hebrew, the word kol means voice. Kol also means thunder. Kolot means voices. Kolot means thunders. Could be the same thing. I don't know if you know, but in the book of Revelations, there's a time when we hear voices, that there are voices being manifested. I suspect that they probably sound much like thunder. How many remember that when Jesus was praying one time in public, he said something to the Father about hearing him, and then he said, I know that you always hear me. I know that you always hear me. He says, I know that you always hear me. And God said, he spoke to him. Do you remember that? He spoke. And the people that were standing nearby thought it was thunder. Thunder. So it says there were voices, there were kolot, there were lightnings, and a heavy cloud on the mount, and the sound of a shofar. It says trumpet in the verse, but the shofar is the... Well, I wouldn't say it's the only one, because there are also silver trumpets that are found in Scripture. But the trumpet was very strong. Say, very strong. We're going to have to get everybody here, a bunch of people here that have shofars, to start bringing them and start blowing them. You know? You got a shofar, don't you? Yeah, you need to start bringing it and blowing it. We need to start hearing the shofar more and more. I believe the shofar actually is a heralding cry. I believe that demons tremble when they hear the shofar of God blow. I do. I believe there's something that goes on spiritually when the shofar blows. It says it was very strong, and all the people who were in the camp do tremble. You remember why we started the service today with the noise. And I could have made it a lot more powerful than it was. You know, we could have put the hyper bass on, and we could have shaken the place a little bit, but it still wouldn't have been anything like this was. Verse 18 says, and Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke, because Yahweh descended upon it in fire, and the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mount quaked greatly. And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed... Listen, it already had been sounding very strong before. Now it says it's sounding long, and it's getting louder and louder. Moses spake, and God answered him by a kolot, by a voice. You know what he said right then, don't you? He said, I am the Lord your God, which brought you forth out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Now, how many of you want to learn the good way to do the Ten Commandments again? How many of you can give me the Ten Commandments just like that? How many of you can do it? Let me show you with your hands how you can remember the Ten Commandments. It's amazing that the church, you know, has grumbled because they took them out of the courts, they took them out of the schools, and yet we don't know them. Everybody hold up one finger. Say, one God.
One God.
I am the Lord your God, which brought you forth out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Two. Not two gods. That's the clue here. See, here's your mnemonic. Not two gods. Thou shalt have no other God before me. Thou shalt make unto thyself no graven image. Right? That's two. Three. Now, don't say... Don't say, oh my, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Right? Number four. That's right. Number four. Tammy's got it. You can remember it with four, but then switch it this way. What is it? Two candles, two challah, Shabbat. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Number five. That's honor your father and your mother. What do you suppose the five... Show them again. What is it? Remember? The well-placed hand on the seat of the pants. Honor your father and your mother. Six. Six-shooter. Thou shalt not... Murder. No murder, right? So seven is, rhymes with, seven rhymes with heaven, and a good marriage is heaven, right? So thou shalt not commit adultery. Number eight. There's an eight. Okay, turn it sideways. It looks like handcuffs, right? Thou shalt not steal. Number nine. Who remembers what the nine is? The nine is that one number that actually can be flipped over and deceive you, right? Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not lie. Number 10. Number 10, hold your hands like this and say, gimme, 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 gimme. Thou shalt not covet. Now, if you remember those, that's just a good, quick way to remember God's commands. You say, are they really important? Well, which one would you do away with? The church tried to do away with one of them. Which one did they try to do away with? Shabbat. But the rest of them, they still know. In fact, they didn't try to do away with Shabbat. They just tried to tell us that God changed His mind about Shabbat. Put it on a different day. We know better, don't we? Shabbat, Shabbat. It means seven. That's what the name means. The seventh day. So God spoke that. Some people say that God spoke that like in instant, that all of those words went into the people. And I don't know that He couldn't do that, do you? I mean, I've had Him speak to me in a moment of time and say volumes that changed my life. One word can change everything if you receive it. So that's what they saw. That's what they saw. And that was the first glory. Verse 18 of Exodus 20 says, all the people are seeing the voices and the flames and the sound of the trumpet and the mount smoking, and the people see and move. I think what we don't see about this is they move very fast. And they stand. I always go over here because this is far off. I got Sinai back over there. I'm standing afar off, right? They moved. They ran. All God saw after He spoke those words and the people saw all of this, He saw their coattails as flapping in the wind as they were leaving. Right? What happened? This was the mighty word of God being spoken to human flesh. And guess what? Human flesh couldn't stand the glory. They couldn't stand the glory. There was some element missing. Now, I personally believe that if the people could have received it, God would have done what He did thousands of years later right then. But He couldn't do it because the people were running from Him. I believe the fullness of times could have happened a lot earlier. But the people couldn't take it. Why? It was the Word. And what do we know about the letter? The letter what? The letter kills. But the Spirit gives life. And so thousands of years later, we read in Acts chapter 2 and verse 1, and I'm going to stay in Young's literal translation. And in the day of Shavuot, or Pentecost, being fulfilled, they were all with one accord at the same place. And there came suddenly, say suddenly. Oh, I love God's suddenlies. Don't you? You remember what Paige was talking to us about? We wait, we wait, we wait, we wait. These people have been waiting too, hadn't they? How long have they been waiting? Yeshua had died on the cross, and He told them, but tarry ye in Jerusalem until you receive the promise of the Father. Now remember, these were observant Jews, and they were counting the Omer. From Pentecost, they did this every year. They counted, and they counted, and they anticipated, and they waited, and they waited. And now the day of Pentecost has fully come, and there's a suddenly, out of heaven, a sound. Have you ever related this to the same thing that was going on Sinai? The same kind of manifestation? The sound as of a bearing, I love the way Young puts this, a bearing violent breath. See, ruach in Hebrew And pneuma in Greek both can mean wind or breath. Breath. What do we know about the Spirit of God? He manifests Him often with breath. Do you remember God in the garden? Adam's body is perfect. It's made. It's just beautiful. It's a wonderful body, but it's just a body. God says, be fruitful and multiply. See, I believe that's what words, God's breath, put into Adam. Be fruitful and multiply. Have dominion in the earth. And subdue it. That breath went right in. Years later, what happened just a few nights before this? Well, a number of nights, about 30 days before this. Yeshua meets with the disciples in the place where they were waiting, and He comes in, the door being closed. Do you remember that? Can you imagine being there? You're there because, why? Because Yeshua said, wait here until, right? So they're waiting. They're waiting. He walks into the room where they are, and He does something. What does He do? What's the Bible? What? He breathed on them. The blessing of God coming out of me, remember? He said, be filled with the Spirit of God. What happened right then? It was the first manifestation of the new birth. That was when the new birth happened. People say the church was born on the day of Pentecost. Well, there's a way in which that's true, but really, new life came into them right then. New life came in. These were a bunch of saved people right at this time. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. And if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away and all things become new, the Bible says. There came out of heaven a bearing violent breath, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. Now, 30 days later, after Yeshua has been received up into heaven, His blood's been accepted before the throne, said, suddenly, out of heaven, a sound of as a bearing violent breath that filled all the house where they were sitting. Was it the sound of a wind? No. It was like a sound of a wind. That's why I like it, because He puts in here, breath. I believe it was the breath of God. There appeared unto them divided tongues, as it were, of fire. Where have we seen fire before? Where? In the desert, on the mountain we saw it. We saw it at the bush. The presence of God often is accompanied by fire. Said there appeared unto them. And see, we've got this old artwork. You've all seen the old artwork, haven't you? We talk about it periodically, a little flame about the size of a candle. Made every man look like he was just a... No. That's so silly. I mean, these people were surrounded in the flames of God. Appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire. And they sat upon each one of them. And guess what? There was no running this time. They didn't run away. Why? Because the new birth has happened. These people have been equipped to receive what's coming. The glory of God is coming now. Something new is about to happen. Oh, I'll tell you what, this was the plan of God from the beginning, that the people would receive the Word and the Spirit. He would come at the same time. Said they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues according as the Spirit was giving them to declare. Look with me at Jeremiah 31:33, and let's put this in the context of what God was saying. Jeremiah 31:33. But this, say this, this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days. Who is it with the house of who? The house of Israel. After those days, saith Yahweh, I will put my law in their inward parts. See, just the word, the letter kills. But when you've got a vessel that's prepared to receive that Torah in the inward parts, and in their heart will I write it, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. A corresponding scripture is Ezekiel 36:27. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my ordinances and do them. Tell me, people, how many of you believe this is talking about present day being filled with the Spirit? In this area, where do you see that it puts away the doing of God's Word, the doing of His laws? We keep them, don't we? Are we under the law? Yes, because I submit myself to the teaching and instruction of God. Do we become in bondage to the law and think that somehow by doing it that we make ourselves better? No way. Say no way. No way. But we keep it because it's His instructions. But the law of the Spirit of life... What's that? Sets you free from the law of sin and death. And so, here's all of those sacrifices. That's the law of sin and death, isn't it? That was the thing that was covering people before that. That all had to be put aside because it was never the sacrifice that caused atonement. It was only the sacrifice that gave a temporary appeasement until the true sacrifice was come. And so now when God comes together with His people, He doesn't come together with just the Word. He doesn't come together with just the Spirit, but the two of them become a powerful force in us. So that, how do we keep the laws of God? From the Spirit, from our heart. What we don't do because we're afraid of judgment. Are you listening to me? We do it because it's in our heart, and because our Father has made us to be like Him. And so we begin to do the same things. The giving of the Ruach HaKodesh, not Mount Sinai, but Mount Zion. I want you to think about this for just a second. Mount Sinai received the Torah. Mount Zion received the Holy Spirit. We always look at it like they're kind of separate. No, it's the coming together of. And the Torah preserves God's people. Isn't that right? Doesn't God's Word keep you? See, we don't believe Torah is just Genesis through Deuteronomy. Torah is, all of this is God's instruction. It's alive. Yes?
I was reading Colossians 2:23, and it's talking about, you know, how the old rabbis kept things, but it didn't save anybody. And the note I wrote down there was, we are given God's teaching and instruction, His Torah, to keep us from indulging the old nature, so that we are then in a place where we can receive His blessings.
Amen.
We can walk in His ways. We can
Amen.
Listen to what He's telling us. We can't. It's meant to be an enabler.
That's right.
Liberty.
That's right.
His teaching
That's
and
right.
instruction is meant to keep us in the way.
Amen.
So that we then can do all these other things.
That's right. It keeps us. It preserves us. It protects us. That's what Torah did. That's what Torah was for. Let's look at the other side. When the Spirit came, what did He do? He transformed us to be able to receive the Torah with life. Remember, the Word of God is alive and powerful. Those people couldn't receive it because they were dead. They ran from God. The Torah teaches God's truth. The Spirit of God reveals God's truth. That's where we get revelation. He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance the things that I've said. The Torah had to be written on tables of stone. But God's Spirit took that and put it in our hearts. Amen? On the fleshy tables. There was fire present on the mountain. There were cloven tongues of fire on Mount Zion. There was thunder, kolot, voices on the mountain. But in Jerusalem, what was there? There were men speaking with other tongues, voices coming out again. The Word actually, as Adam was made a living soul, right? But Yeshua was a life-giving Spirit. Another thing that's very significant was that because the people did not receive the truth of what God said and they fashioned the golden calf, who can tell me how many people died because of that? 3,000 people died because of that. How many know what happened on the day of Pentecost? 3,000 people came into the household of God. I believe this is a powerful time for both Judah. Let me say this. For both the house of Judah and the house of Ephraim. What's Judah mean? What? Somebody said it, I think. Judah means praise. What does Ephraim mean? Fruitful. That's where we get pre-Hagafen. So here we've got the two loaves. The two loaves. I believe the two loaves that God commanded, and here it is in the Word of God, Leviticus 23:17, this is what's supposed to be done on Shavuot. You shall bring out of your habitations two wave loaves. Wave them before the Lord. Wave them. Can you see the waving? You know, the priests had a job. Because, I mean, the ones that they... Yeah. The ones that they waved were heavier than these, and they waved these before God. What were they doing? Well, they're leavened loaves. They're not unleavened. Unleavened always speaks of Messiah. Leaven speaks of God's people. When they had the 12 showbread loaves that were daily put in or weekly put into the tabernacle, that was for the 12 tribes. But here in this we see the two companies. I believe Yehuda is the ones that have kept Torah and kept it carefully. I know you've only heard bad things about Pharisees. I'm going to tell you, there's some good things about them. They kept the Word of God. They safeguarded it. When I say they kept it, I don't mean they necessarily did it always, but they kept it. They guarded it. Do you know what they do with it now? Have you ever seen the Torah scroll, what it's done with in a synagogue? They put it in an ark. That's what they call it. They call it the ark. And it's a sealed place, a place that's a big cabinet that they put the Torah scrolls in and they safeguard it. It's symbolic of what they've been doing through the ages. Here's Ephraim. And Ephraim was the first of the tribes. Remember that when in the prophets, God begins to speak of the 10 tribes that went astray as Ephraim. Why? Because Jacob had prophesied and said, Ephraim is my firstborn. And so he comes to represent all of the other tribes of Israel. Now, here's the two loaves. And I believe the two loaves, Jews, what are they known for? Torah. Ephraim, what is he known for? Well, you haven't heard the teaching, but let me tell you, I believe this is the people that God's calling back out of the Gentiles. The grafted in ones. And what are they known for? The Spirit of God. Now the two loaves being waved before God, saying that the Spirit and the Word coming together to bring us back to one. Now we'll get into Ezekiel 36 one of these days and talk about the two sticks. And you'll see it even clearer. Where God takes two sticks and puts them in Ezekiel's hand. He said, write Judah on one of them. Write Ephraim on the other. And while you hold them in their hand, I'm going to make one stick out of the two. Now that'd be a miracle to see, wouldn't it? But that's what's happening right now, people. Did you know the Bible is talking about a time right now when Jews who have been jealous of Ephraim are going to begin to ask questions? And people who have been Gentiles are going to begin to come to Jews and say, teach us more about the Torah. Help us to understand more about the preciousness of the Word of God. Coming together into a unity. See, these are the wave loaves. Wouldn't it have been awful if I'd have baked those and then left them in the car? I'd have really been irritated at the end of the day, you know that? And I'd have had to say, Lord, why did I do that? And He'd say, you just weren't listening to me. Praise God. Praise God. Can you see how God is wanting to manifest His great power and glory in the church. I mean, every time we just allow Him to do it, and every time we just settle down and let him move on us, He begins to do things. He's done things today in the body that He's never done before. In you, in others. Praise God. And there's an openness here. I want you to know there's an openness here, and I don't always know how to get out of the way, but I'm praying about it, see, because I really want to be out of the way. I want God to manifest His power and His presence to us more than anything else in the world. That's what I want. That's what I thought about all week long. It's what I've been thinking about as I was counting the Omer. That's what I've been praying about, trusting God for, repenting if there's anything in me that would keep this from happening. People, that's why we've got to come. We've got to get so open with God, so transparent with Him, that He can just move us wherever He wants to do it. But this is the day. This is the day. Do you realize when you say this is the day, we're not talking a 24-hour period. We're talking this period of time in which we live is the day. I believe that the apostles would have loved to have lived in this day. Can you imagine what would have happened if they could have been here and seen this? We have more than they did. We've got more knowledge than they did. We've got more access than they did to people. Really. They had to get on a boat and travel and shipwreck and everything else to get to people. We can go to them with no problem at all. We can put it on a CD and send it to them. You can go to more neighbors in a day probably than most of the disciples could in a week. Think about it. What you can do. You can get on the telephone. You can email them. It's a glorious time to be alive. Soon and very soon, we're going to see the King. Amen? Praise God. Praise God. Has anybody got anything else? Stand up, would you please? Thank you, Father. Father, we commit ourselves to yield ourselves to the truth of what's just been spoken here, for the freedom that we have, the liberty that we have, the compassion and love that we have, and Lord, especially that the blood of Yeshua has made us free from all of the power of sin and death. We thank You for that, and we choose to walk in it. We choose to be led by the Spirit of God. And Father, this week we choose to begin to practice more and more the Word of God, of being led by the Spirit of God, of walking in the will and the ways of God, of hearing Your voice and responding, whether it be left or right, whatever that word is, we'll be quick to respond, quick to be obedient. Quick to hear. Quick to hear. Say quick to hear. Quick to hear. Slow to speak. And slow to anger. Oh, thank You, Father. We thank You. Ivareka Adonai Vayishmareka. Yair Adonai Panav Aleka Vikaneka. Yise Adonai Panav Aleka Vyasem Lacha Shalom. Those words in Hebrew are God's instruction to Aaron to speak a blessing over the people of God. I believe that those words are alive. They come right out of the Word of God. They're alive, and when we speak them, they begin to go in, and that shalom that Tammy spoke to us about today is just targeted for you. You remember how we hear the stories about smart weapons? The smart weapons that we have that we're able actually to paint a laser target. They can paint it on a window, and a smart bomb can go right in a window and take out just that part of a building anymore. Did you know that? Well, listen, God's got a smart blessing, and He's got a target painted on you. Amen? His target's painted on you. Let's put our hands in the air, and let's receive that blessing right now. Get ready, and if it knocks you over, just let it do it. Oh, glory to God. Now may Yahweh bless you and keep you. May Yahweh make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May Yahweh lift up the light of His countenance upon you and bring you shalom in the name of Yeshua. And as we receive that right now, as we take that into ourselves, as we receive that, remember its wholeness, its completeness, its fullness. It's nothing missing, nothing broken in the lives of God's people. We receive it. We thank you for it in the name of Yeshua. And if you received it, say amen.